All right. Our next speaker will be Sarah Egendorf, and she will be speaking on the New York City Clean Soil Bank pilot study and manufacturing topsoil from terrestrial sediments in compost. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. I want to say there's plenty of seats up front if you'd like to come join us there. My name is Sarah Pearl Egendorf, and along with my advisor, Dr. Joshua Chang, and my colleague, Anya Paltseva, I'm very pleased to be here this morning to tell you about the New York City Clean Soil Bank pilot study, for which, yes, we manufactured topsoil from terrestrial sediments and compost. It's really important to consider the context that we're in before we begin thinking about manufacturing soil. As we know, urban soils are contaminated all over the world, and as it might be no surprise to you, New York City is no exception. So on this map you see, we have zip code areas of New York City, and every area coded in red has a significant number of soil samples sent to the Brooklyn College Urban Soils Institute lab that are above the EPA threshold of 400 parts per million. So this is a serious issue. Clearly in our city, and there are soils there. And because lead cannot be broken down or effectively removed from soil, this exposes residents to great risks all over the city. It's not only an issue for residents all over the city, but it's also particularly an issue in community gardens. And this is an environmental justice issue. On the maps you see here, you see green dots of community gardens. This is all in the Bronx in New York City. And on the map on the left, you see darker colors associated with higher percentages of people living below the poverty line. And on the map on the right, you see darker colors associated with higher percentages of people from minority backgrounds. So not only is community gardening and urban agriculture tremendously important for numerous reasons, both physical and for health reasons, for community building, food sovereignty, we want to promote those benefits. But if you're exposing people who are already from vulnerable populations to greater risks, this becomes an even more important issue to deal with. So what do we do in general? Well, you can add amendments, and as my colleague mentioned, you can change the potential availability of metals and soils. But in general, we look to excavation on the one hand, or capping and covering contaminated soils, especially for lead. So excavating has some pros because it's highly effective that contaminated soil is removed, but it's very challenging in the city. So it's very expensive. There's huge logistical impediments, requires placement in landfills, and also requires bringing in new soil. Capping and covering is also effective, can be logistically feasible, less expensive, but contaminated soil does remain underneath the new soil brought in and still requires new soil. So since soil is essentially finite on human timescales and is always needed in its native settings, we know that manufacturing new soil for particularly urban contexts is incredibly important and urgent. That brings us to the point of this study. So the New York City Clean Soil Bank is a large collaboration with a number of organizations in New York City, and it was started by the New York City Mayor's Office of Environmental Remediation. So they provided sediments for this study, and they excavate sediments from development sites all over the city, have them thoroughly tested for contaminants before use. We used compost from the Gowanus Canal Conservancy that was made from food scraps and also tested for contaminants prior to use. And these materials were brought to community gardens that are overseen by the New York City Parks Department Green Thumb organization, as well as the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust. So they manage community gardens and provide space, materials, and gardener outreach for the study. And then the experimental design and testing was conducted by Brooklyn College and the Urban Soils Institute. We created beds, grew crops, conducted soil and plant analyses, and are here to present this research to you. So we have a number of objectives and questions for this study. First of all, we wanted to know what ratios of sediments and compost would be adequate to promote a viable yield. We also want to know, would these experimental crops be safe for human consumption? The soils we mixed were clean, but there were still minimal amounts of contaminants in the compost. And as we know, our urban environment is highly contaminated, so we wanted to make sure, would these crops be safe for consumption? And finally, it's not enough to just construct new soil. We needed to monitor these over time. So we want to know, would they be contaminated over time? We have three hypotheses. First of all, we thought that 33% compost ratios would be adequate based on some initial calculations. Again, this is 33% by volume. And two, we did hypothesize that vegetable metal concentrations would be below health-based guidance values. And three, we hypothesized that the soils would not be contaminated, at least within the first year. So a little bit more about these sediments that we used. These sediments, as you see in the pile there, in the picture, were excavated by the Mayor's Office of Environmental Remediation, that has excavated sediments around the city for a number of years and has used them for various development projects. So these sediments are extensively tested for contaminants, both pre- and post-transport. And this is an amazing opportunity because these sediments would otherwise be taken to landfills. And that has been the common practice for New York City's history. We have significant amounts of glacial sediments there that were deposited in landfills when building foundations were built. So this project, even in its first few years, has saved the city tons of money, has really saved tons of carbon dioxide emissions, diesel truck combustion, and so this project has tremendous environmental benefits, cost-saving benefits, but we need to know, could these sediments be used as a growing media? Well, in order to do this, they had to be mixed with compost. And compost, to find clean compost in the city, was also quite a bit of a challenge. So we sampled a number of different compost sources and found fairly high concentrations of lead in them. So we found 230 parts per million, and then 200 parts per million in two different composts sampled. And finally, we found one compost source locally produced in the city, produced by the Gowanus Canal Conservancy, that had about 40 parts per million on average. And so then we took these materials together. We had a number of field methods, and we constructed raised beds. We created four raised beds in two community gardens, one raised bed in a third garden, and we always placed landscape fabric between the new soil and the underlying garden. We then mixed these sediments with compost at three volumetric ratios, 50%, 33%, 20%, and the fourth bed was used as a control bed for which we used standardly purchased topsoil by the Parks Department that gardeners would otherwise be using in their beds. And finally, we planted a consistent number and variety of crops in each bed, watered and tended to the crops over the first growing season. So there you see the 50% compost bed, 33%, 20%, and the control topsoil. We also conducted a number of different lab analyses looking at contaminant analyses, both organic and inorganic, and we used a certified lab, the York Analytical Laboratories, for some of these testing. We also conducted standard USDA soil analyses. We also conducted plant tissue analyses, and then continued these analyses throughout an entire year. We have some results. So first here we have total agronomic yield, and this is by different crops grown and fresh weight. So you see on the x-axis a number of the different crops grown. We've got basil, eggplant, kale, onions, peppers, and tomatoes. And then each of the different colors represents the total yield from each of the beds. So as you see in red, the 50% compost beds were the highest for each of the plant types grown. The control soil is all the way on the right in blue, and that's what we were comparing to. And although we hypothesized that the 33% beds would be comparable to the control, in fact, they had less yield for most of the beds, or excuse me, for most of the plant types, except for tomatoes. Oh, and peppers. But overall, it seems that we need more than 33% compost, at least for this compost source that was used. We also looked at metal concentrations in fruit and root vegetables. So here you see the eggplants, onions, peppers, and tomatoes, and the European Commission guidance value, the red line at the top, at 0.1 parts per million. And as you see, all of our samples taken from these crops were well below this threshold. So indeed, all of the vegetables and the fruits and roots in this case were safe for human consumption despite the low levels of lead in the compost and despite the surrounding environment. This was also something we saw for vegetable tissue metals. So here we see basil, cabbage, and kale, and there's a slightly different threshold for leafy greens and vegetables here, which is 0.3 parts per million. But you see that even with this threshold, and even though basil has slightly higher concentrations, all of these vegetables were also safe for human consumption. And finally, we looked at soil metals over time. So again, we're just considering lead here, although we did analyze for a suite of different metals and also analyzed for organic contaminants, and all of those are below detection limits. So here we see samples taken in July 2015, October 2015, and again in July 2016. And all of these were varied very minimally, and any variation we think is also due to sampling variability. But you see the standard that we list, that I showed there, is the soil cleanup objective for unrestricted use criteria. This is the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation's most stringent standard at 63 parts per million. So again, way below the EPA's 400 parts per million threshold. Even looking at 63 parts per million, all of our soils were well below this value. So indeed, over this first growing year, the soils were not contaminated by the surrounding environment. So in terms of our three hypotheses, first of all, were these sediment composts viable growing media? Indeed, they were. We had significant growth in all of the beds, and all of the soil parameters evaluated also demonstrated that the soils were functioning as standard soils do. But the 33% mixture, at least for this compost, was not adequate. So this might vary with other compost types and other sediment types, but for these particular materials we use, we need more than 33% compost. For our second hypothesis, looking at the safety of vegetables and fruits grown in these beds, we did see indeed that there was no evidence of contamination. And for our third hypothesis, looking at soil recontamination over time, we found that the beds were not contaminated by the surrounding environment, at least over one entire year. It does mean that the bed doesn't preclude the possibility for contamination over subsequent years, but this will need to be continually monitored. In terms of the benefits and next step for this project, the Clean Soil Bank has tremendous potential to manufacture topsoil on a very large scale, and again, using only urban waste stream products. So this is actually a viable way to cap and cover contaminated soils, to mitigate health risks, to promote urban agriculture, and enhance the many benefits of community gardening. There's also an enormous supply of these sediments, these inorganic materials. 66% of the new buildings built in New York City, and there are many ongoing continually, each generates about 6,500 tons of clean soil or sediments per site. So it's almost an unlimited volume of this material. And there are estimates that show that this volume could remediate all New York City gardens in less than 1 year with the proper logistics in place. So that will be the challenge. In order to meet this challenge, what we'll need to do is conduct more research, particularly looking at other organic residual blends, and to create more partnerships. So I hope you will somehow find a way to join us in this quest to remediate New York City soils and soils all over cities in this country. Thank you. I just wanted to say that this project was a large collaboration and couldn't have been done without the help of numerous individuals, organizations listed here. Yes. Oh, go ahead. New buildings all over the city. The particular sediments we use were from Queens, northern Queens. Yes. Yes, it was very sandy, just basically sand. Yeah.
We decomposed.
Absolutely. We saw that over the first year too.
That sounds great.
Oh.
For using these waste products or what we can serve in the area.
Thank you. I know there's a hand in the back.
Yeah, so one thing you talked about was your potential for aerial contamination. It looks like your site was surrounded, you had a nice mulch system and a very green space around the garden.
Absolutely.
As well, talk about the lead concentration in the surrounding areas as a potential source.
I didn't talk about that, but in fact, our third garden was surrounded by contaminated soils, another place we were doing research. So, yes, even in that garden, we didn't see contamination. A hand in the front, Louis Hine. Yeah.
Well, so I guess it's along those lines, I was really surprised to see the high level of contamination in your compost. And so I was wondering, usually we think of that as a historical contaminant, but is that like you get to 200 parts per million just from redistribution of?
It depends on what materials are used in the compost.
Sure, so you're right. So what, what are those materials?
Well,
are they composting with soil material, contaminated soil?
Often that is the case. Sometimes leaf litter can be an issue. But they were each different sources, and we weren't privy to all of their materials used, but yeah. often people are mixing in their yard waste or materials that are still entraining those contaminated soil particles into the compost.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.